All right, 2 Peter, chapter 2. We've talking about in verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Oh, the idea, as we talked about, the idea is they're talking about the teachers here, and they're using false teachers. They're using Balaam as the example for false teachers because they are hirelings who are doing what they're doing for the money, for reward. Now, and they love the wages of unrighteousness. Oh, God. But was rebuked for his iniquity. I'm sorry. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. We could talk about all that for a long time, but I want to get to the next verse. These are wells without water. The word wells is a word in the Greek, pege, and it means a fountain or a spring. And it refers to the it's sort of a parable in the old... I mean, it's like... It refers to the idea that when you're on the desert and you see an oasis, you see green palm trees or you see some green activity, everything in you believes that there is the water. And so you move towards that water to try to solve your problem. And when you get there, there's no water. There's no water in the fountain. Are in the spring. And that's what the metaphor or analogy or whatever that Peter is using for teachers that promise the gratification of the senses in the name of God. They are oases that may have... I mean, they're totally without water, but they don't have enough water. Does everybody understand that? It's the idea that you, whatever your need is, you are allured to that by the words of these people. You know, and I can look around the room, and we know from our own experience how initially we were attracted to something, but when we got it, it was nothing. And so there's a great... Remember we talked about earlier about how they privily bring in damnable heresies? The privily meant that they spoke alongside. They had part of the truth, but they brought in this other alongside of it. And so that's what happens when you... Well, it goes on here. These are wells without water, and it And the word clouds, it refers, again, if there's water someplace, then it creates a cloud, but it's not really a cloud. It's the mist that comes from it on a desert. Mists carried away with a violent wind, to whom the blackness, it says the mist of darkness is reserved, but a better translation is the blackness or darkness of, it's to whom the blackness of darkness is reserved forever. Now this isn't talking about hell, or it's talking about the kingdom of darkness. That's whenever the scriptures talk about being cast into outer darkness, it's not talking about being cast into hell, it's being cast into the darkness of the Gentile world. The Gentile world thinks it's full of light. So, reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, great swelling is high sounding words of vanity. They allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. In other words, the word clean is an interesting word. It's oligos, and it means barely. And it's the idea that they are speaking to people who have begun to escape the world. They've begun to their trek on the Exodus. They begin to escape, but they are allured back into the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of the world, through these alluring, high-sounding words. Does everybody understand that?
Reminds me of some place where it talks about those who put burdens on you and prevent you from entering in, and they don't enter in themselves.
Yeah. I saw something else here where it says you need not that any man teach you, because teaching implies that he's going to give you some information that will help you along, which is what the guys are talking about. Teaching is getting rid of everything so that Christ is revealed, not adding to you but subtracting.
Again, when they speak these great swelling, high-sounding words, they're alluring with bait to pull you back, those that have barely escaped the world in their exodus. They are luring them back into the kingdom of the senses. Now, we don't want to do that here.
It's like the Amalekites lying in wait to catch the stragglers.
Right. Anytime somebody tells you what to do in the name of God, they are alluring you back into the kingdom of darkness. Anytime you read a how-to book, anytime you want to know what to do about something, you are alluring, something is alluring you back into the kingdom of darkness. Because the fullness of everything is complete in Christ. It's easy to point the finger and say they're doing it. But what you want to see is how often your mind does it to you. With great swelling, high-sounding words of vanity, your mind allures you back into the kingdom of darkness, but your mind is the well without water. Your mind creates the illusion that something else is going to fix it. Does everybody understand this?
We just read this last night, Bible study, the temptation of Eve in the garden, when she saw that it was good, that when the need came up in mind, and then here's the solution to the need, there it is.
But the thing that bothers me about this is that when it says those that were barely escaped from them who live in error. Those who just, they had just barely started to escape because they began to see the futility and emptiness of the world. And they're allured back into the world through these high-sounding words that they've privily brought in alongside of truth. That's what you're... Again, it's easy to see, well, that's what those guys are doing. You got to understand, that's what... This is the job of your mind. Not once in your entire life has your mind been your friend. I've said that a million times, and then I hear somebody have a great idea.
I have a great idea about how we can promote that.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now, that's something that I don't want to know what that means. Remember, I've told you there's a lot of things I don't want to know what it means. When it says that the watchman's duty is if to warn, if he doesn't, if the watchman doesn't warn you, then the person who's guilty, hit their blood is on the watchman's. I don't want to know what that means. I don't want to know what the unforgivable sin means. I don't want to know what this means. Those that have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge, and again, that's epignosis, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Anybody have any response to that?
As you were talking, I was thinking about, I don't know why I was thinking about this, but I was thinking about my first wife and how we first
got together. I remember her.
Yeah. And there was this point where, you know, after following my own senses and everything, I crossed some line, and in my mind, I could either repent or I had to marry her. You know, that was the way my mind was working back then. And it was like, because that way I could fix it and I wouldn't have to repent. I could sort of make it all fit together like it's supposed to happen. And that's like on a large scale in my life, and then on a small scale, that happens all the time. You know, you see how you're following your senses, and suddenly it's.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Man, and hear the exhortation of Gary. I mean, Gary knows. Well, the next verse is worse. For it had been better for them not to have known the way, again, the hodos, the way of righteousness, than after that they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true vomit, the true proverb. I read ahead. Shut up, Joyce Salmon. The dog is... I didn't read ahead. I knew it was coming. Can we start over again? But it has happened unto them according to the true vomit. The dog is... I did it again.
Kevin will edit this out. Don't worry.
No, he won't. He will not edit it. He will gleefully put it in.
He'll put it in and we'll repeat it.
And then repeat it over and over and over.
It's like Gary last night talking about how we used to have hot shits.
But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now what does that mean? Vomit is always to do with something that, you know, you have eaten and it wasn't good for you and you regurgitated. You have already found out about the pollutions of the world system. And this is mainly an internal act of your mind. You've already found out that all the solutions that you've had in your mind to all your problems were not right, were wrong. They were not good for you. Then the next day you come up and you have a really good idea. You've added something to the idea. Now it's going to work. The point of that is, if there is anything other than Jesus Christ Himself that is your idea or your hope, then you're missing the whole point of the mystery of God. Does everybody see that? It's not about things. It's about Him. It's not about solutions. It's about Him. Now, what happens when you get upset and nervous? What do? You start digging around in the dirt. That's what the parable is for thinking. You're trying to find some other solution in the dirt.
Wallowing in the mire.
And you've gone the way of Cain, hoeing the dirt, trying to plant something. Now, what's so evil is people are talking about now the idea of planting money.
Does that really work?
Well, that's what. As long as you put it in hot soil.
Hot soil. That was our original
soil. Got a new one for you. Your vote is your seed.
Your vote is your seed?
In 2004, God has told Kenneth Copeland, tell the church that your vote is your seed.
D-O-T-E.
Vote.
Not your boat. You don't have a boat. Don't talk about boats.
Never mind.
It's like Peter is you know, he's thinking, what is the most disgusting, analogy here to wake people up, to understand this? You know, he comes up with all these different metaphors to try, and hoping maybe one of them will hit us,
But I want you to internalize it. It's not about them. It's about you. And it's primarily about your mental activity. For some of you, and I won't mention any names, to give breath to the slightest little idea is the dog returning and eating his own vomit. You notice I didn't mention any names. I got a solution. I got a thing. I saw an infomercial.
Act now.
Do
it in person. Oh, wait.
No matter what it seems, no matter what anything is telling you, you have been perfected by one offering. You're perfect. No matter what it seems, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you all things freely. No matter what it seems, all things exist for your purpose. No matter what it seems, you own all things. Anything that's going on that tells you something different is just to cause you to ask yourself whether or not my mind is lying to me. Well, that finishes 2 Peter, because we did it backwards and then forwards. Mm-hmm. We did chapter 3 first, then we did chapter 1, then we did chapter 2. Now, I hope you are. That's why I said, I hope you are. I hope you're finished with it. All righty. Take it, big guy.